A mail call episode here on Locked On Warriors, recorded live on the Locker Room app on a Tuesday morning, answering questions about Eric Paschal's Sixth Man of the Year candidacy, Kelly Oubre's future, and James Wiseman's development, all coming up here next.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, a mail call episode here, recording live episode of Locked On Warriors here on the Locked Room app. If you want to join the conversation, request to speak, and we'll chat some hoops, we'll talk some Warriors. In the meantime, I've got a list here of questions that people sent into me on Twitter, sent into me via email, so kind of a combination mailbag episode and sort of a traditional radio call-in episode. My name is Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Taking some questions, let's start with this one from MJ Castro on Twitter, who writes in, do you think that Paschal should be in the Sixth Man of the Year conversation? Now, Eric Paschal has really worked out as this small ball center who kind of leads that second unit along with Andrew Wiggins. His stats have been really nice. He's averaged now double-digit points in 8 straight games. He really should be in the mix, I think, for Sixth Man of the Year. That said, he's got some steep competition. Paschal right now, 13.5 points per game in 8 games that he played off the bench. So he would qualify for this, right? He's going to continue. He's not going to be starting anymore now that Draymond is back. Eric Paschal started the first 2 games at power forward for the Warriors. But then you've got guys like Jordan Clarkson, who for Utah is averaging almost 17 points per game. You've got Goran Dragic in Miami, who's going to have a claim to that award. Chris Boucher in Toronto, who the Warriors just saw. Derrick Rose in Detroit. I mean, these are the guys that Paschal is going to be going up against for the Sixth Man of the Year award. But if he holds this up and the Warriors are a legit playoff team, he should be in the conversation, right? And so, yeah, he will be and he should be. But I don't know that he'll win it because you've got more established players like Jordan Clarkson and Dragic, and even a guy like Chris Boucher who did a lot of good things last year for Toronto. But look, with what he can do from a scoring perspective, his field goal percentage is unbelievable. 58% shooting off the bench in these 8 games. He probably needs to ramp up the rebounds. Only 3.6 per game off the bench. 1.5 assists off the bench. If he could start to kind of fill up the box score in other ways, then that'll help his case. But for now, yeah, he should be in the conversation, no doubt. This question comes from Daniel Burt. By the way, if you want to talk, if you've got a question, request to speak here on the Locker Room app. Meanwhile, we will get to the other questions that have been written in. Daniel Burt writes in, James Wiseman's offense seems to be coming along, but he still looks like he's a little lost on defense and is oftentimes out of position to defend the rim. Have you noticed any improvements, or is this still the area where he needs the most work? I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. This is the area where he needs the most work. And Draymond, playing with Draymond has helped. You always see Draymond Green out there pointing him, yelling at him to get into the right spots and things like that. I'll say that Wiseman, he's gotten – the area where I've seen him improve is he doesn't leave his feet so much. He doesn't chase blocks as much. And he's still averaging 1.5 blocks per game. But – that part has been a major improvement. He's drawing fewer fouls. And I'll say this about Wiseman. He still has some rough defensive games. He really struggled against Serge Ibaka in that first Clippers game. But he tends to follow those up with better games, which is a really nice sign from a 19-year-old, right? Because you can see guys, the Warriors, they have a guy right now who's in a rut, who's definitely older than 19 and just can't seem to shake it. But James Wiseman, He doesn't let himself fall into those ruts. He gets frustrated. Yeah, we've seen him on the bench get frustrated with himself after, a missed rotation or a confused assignment or something like that. But he does tend to follow up those games where he plays poorly with games where he's definitely more solid. But that's the biggest area that they're working on. Not just the out-of-position stuff, but the recognition ahead of time. He's so athletic, right? That's the thing with Wiseman. Throughout his whole life, he hasn't had to be a high basketball IQ player. I'm not saying he isn't. He just hasn't had to be because he's such an athlete. He's such a freak of nature athlete. So even if he was caught behind the play, he can always make up for it with his length and his speed and all these things. But now it's a more even playing field. He's still one of the most athletic 7-footers in the NBA, but the game moves faster now. And so one thing I've noticed that he has a hard time doing is just recognizing basic pick and roll stuff that the opponent is doing. He's behind, you know, really basic, just high pick and roll plays. He needs to figure that part out. He needs to stay in front of the guards, stay in front of the opposing big man. Maybe drop back a little bit more, not try to aggressively show so much as he has. And I've noticed that he's working on that a little bit. He's starting to pull back on the aggression, pull back a little bit on the energy, and just stay solid. That to me is the biggest thing with him, just stay solid. But that said, the on-off numbers have not been great. The Warriors are much better when Kevon Looney is on the floor than when James Wiseman is on the floor. Despite, you know, these sports center highlights and things like that, that Wiseman can put up. But you live with that, right? You take those lumps now, especially while you're 6-4, you can take those lumps now because the payoff by the playoffs should be that he is your best center. Right now, Kevon Looney is your best center. That's what all the metrics, all the on-off stuff shows that. But by the playoffs, it should be James Wiseman. What he can do from three-point range, spacing the floor when Draymond Green isn't, and what he could provide as far as just transition plays and thing and rim protection, all that stuff. By the playoffs, he should be your best center. If you want to talk basketball, request to speak here on the Locker Room app. Ask whatever questions you want, whatever's bothering you, whatever you got on your mind. We can chat about it. In the meantime, I will get to some more of these questions that have been written in. This one comes from, let's see, which one do we want to do here? Brunnen, Bruno42 on Twitter asks, what are your favorite names to get with the DPE? All right. So I don't know how many of you guys are new here, new to my work. Maybe a lot of you. I don't know how many people actually cared about the Warriors last year. But one of the things that really bugged me last year was how many questions I would get about the mid-level exception, the MLE. And by the halfway point of the season, I said, you know what? I'm boycotting all questions about the mid-level exception. I haven't even gotten that far yet in this season. These questions about the DPE, the Warriors are not going to use it anytime soon. They probably won't end up using it at all this season. And if they do, that player is going to be added in the event of another injury or some sort of coronavirus protocol or something where they need to fill time. Right now, the Warriors don't have the roster spot available for the DPE. There's nobody out there as a free agent that's worth using it. I don't know who is on a one-year deal that you could trade for and what you could trade for that player. This is going to be a break glass in case of emergency type thing for Golden State. I don't know that they're going to encounter that sort of emergency. And I am now officially boycotting all questions about the DPE. I'm sorry. I've got to do it. Okay. There are no great names. There's no great names at the DPE. And I don't want to go down and try to find every player that makes, you know, less than $9 million. I'm not going to do that.
I've got a question about the Warriors draft and stash prospect coming up next. But first, let's talk about betonline.ag. The NFL playoffs are in full gear. The NBA is in the midst of their season. And there's only one place that has you covered, one place that I trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. That's getting half of your deposit back, free money that you can go ahead and go win more money with. The NFL games are wrapping up. I mean, we are in the playoffs. If you want to get a taste, if you want to start betting on these games, now's the time to do it. The NBA season is in full swing. They've got prop bets from whether or not you think James Harden is going to get traded to the over-unders for points totals, lines on the games. If you listen to this podcast, chances are you're smarter than the average NBA fan, and you have an opportunity to put money down and take advantage of that. Don't sit on the sideline anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.
Juan Sanchez writes in, do you think that the Warriors are paying attention to what Justinian Jessup is doing in Australia and if he could be on the team's roster next season? Well, yeah, they're definitely paying attention to what Jessup is doing in Australia. That's for sure. They drafted him as a draft and stash guy. He's a good three-point shooter. That's where he projects. Needs to put on more size, needs to sort of put muscle on that frame. Well, look, next year, Ken Bazemore is a free agent. Brad Wanamaker is a free agent. You're not really – you picked up Jordan Poole's third-year option, but that's because it's a bargain. You're not really sure what you're going to get from Jordan Poole going forward. Yeah. Like, this team's going to need shooting next year. They're going to need length, and Jessup provides that. Now, I don't know if it's as soon as next year. Maybe it's 2 years from now. I don't know. I'm not sure how far along he is in his development. But they're watching him, and they're monitoring that. And if they believe that they can bring him along, bring him in next year, and maybe he could be sort of Klay Thompson's backup, then they'll do that. And they're going to have the roster spots available to do so, right? Because like I said, a lot of these guys are going to be free agents. Kelly Oubre, free agent. Jessup, there'll be a spot for him next year if the Warriors think that he's ready for it. And if not, you just let him play in Australia. Keep playing in Australia until you're ready. Nothing's lost there. Tanner writes in, if you want to chat, by the way, request to speak here on the Locker Room app. We could talk hoops, talk Warriors, whatever's on your mind. Tanner writes in, do you think that we will trade Kelly Oubre before the trade deadline or just ride him out on the second team in hopes his game will pick up? All right, so we've got some Kelly Oubre talk here. The Warriors are in a tough spot with Oubre, but I'll say this. I think some of the struggles have been overstated. Yeah, he can't hit a three if his life depended on it, but he's at least filling it up in other ways. He's at least contributing in other ways. If he's been that bad, I mean, he's averaging 12 points per game. How many players can average 12 points per game when they're playing the worst basketball of their career? So I think his struggles have been a little overstated because the missed threes are so loud and because the spacing has been such a concern. And by the way, the on-off numbers with him and Steph on the floor are really bad. Those two have played more minutes together than any other Warriors duo, and the numbers are atrocious. But I just don't know what you do about it because you can't move him into the second unit, I don't think, because you're winning games with your bench right now, and the bench is thriving because of the spacing. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to put Kelly Oubre on that in that bench unit and cramp the spacing? No. Then you're sort of sabotaging that unit. Well, okay, then what do you do? You play him fewer minutes? He's only averaging 27, 28 minutes per game already, and he's a starter. And however much his confidence has been damaged so far, and Steve Kerr has been open, he thinks Kelly Oubre is in his head, and he's clearly in his head. Right? When you're missing shots when you're short on threes and then you're long on threes and then you're missing them left and missing them to the right, usually you see players in ruts, they're kind of missing all these threes the same way. They're always missing them long, they're always missing them short, whatever. Kelly Oubre is just out there guessing, like with his shot right now. He is missing it left, right, far, short, and everything in between. So he's in his head. You don't want to further risk that damage to his confidence by playing him, a starter, by the way. If you're paying $14, $15 million a year, spending $80 million when luxury taxes are considered, you don't want to bench him or play him 20 minutes per game. So I do think that Oubre, he's going to come out of this rut. Okay, I still believe that. It's more than just a shooting slump. It's more than just an average. But there will be a reversion to the mean at some point. I guarantee you by the end of the year, we'll all be talking about that great 5-6 game stretch that Kelly Oubre had where he shot, 70% from three. It's just going to happen. It has to, right? He's not this bad of a shooter. He never has been. I think one thing that that the Warriors should figure out is how to split up his minutes with Steph a little bit more. Like, you got to get Oubre out of the lineup with Steph Curry so much. That way you can strengthen that starting group a little bit more. I think maybe you take him out of the game a little bit early. You find other spots to play him when Steph's not on the floor, but he's not completely cramping the style of the bench. If you're Mike Brown, who's in charge of the rotations, you kind of got to figure it out. You got to do some chemistry and some calculus to work that out because you just can't. The way that Kelly Oubre is in Steph Curry's way and how often that he's in Steph Curry's way is a problem, right? It's a major problem. That to me is more of a trend that I could see continuing than the three-point shot. Because Kelly Oubre has always been the guy who had the ball in his hands and scored. And when he didn't have the ball in his hands, he kind of just stands around. Well, that doesn't work in Golden State's offense, right? When you get rid of the ball, you got to keep moving. And those we've all seen the viral clips of Kelly Oubre just standing there and getting in Steph Curry's way, and Steph just sort of yelling at him, telling him to clear out from the corner and all this stuff. He needs to fix that. Maybe he can. Maybe they're going to see this in film, and Steph and Draymond are going to get on him a little bit more, and he starts to move off the ball a little bit. But that, to me, is more bad habit than just something that he's just consciously doing. And bad habits are hard to break. So they got to figure that out. If you want to talk, request to speak here on the Locker Room app. If not, we'll keep going with some of these questions. Dulo Twist writes in, what's the next roster move in your opinion? So that's tough. I do wonder about Alan Smalagic's future. If the Warriors are going to use DPE, I told you I'm not going to name names with the DPE. I'm not going to scour the league and do this whole thing about who's going to be a great fit because he fits within that contract exemption. But if they do have to use it down the line on whatever replacement player, they only have one player on a non-guaranteed contract, and that's Michael Mulder, and they are not waiving Michael Mulder. He's too important to this team and too important to their future. I think he's a future rotation player for this group. Now, Alan Smalagic, his contract's guaranteed, but he's not going to be able to play for a lot of this year. And even when he's healthy, he's not a rotation guy yet. I mean, Alan Smalagic is as exciting as he was in Santa Cruz and the moments that he had last year. I mean, this is a guy who's 2 years away from being 2 years away. And he needs to be in Santa Cruz. He needs to be in the G League. And there is no real G League this year. The Santa Cruz Warriors will be in the Orlando bubble for the G League. It's unclear if Smalagic will even be healthy enough to participate in that. My guess is that he won't be, based on the timeline. So, I don't know that this team can afford to use that roster spot right now on Smalagic. And this team, and look, the Warriors front office likes his upside and all that stuff, but he's too far away, and your championship window is closing, man. And I think Smalagic could go. If they waive him, maybe they can. He clears waivers and they re-sign him to a contract where he's strictly a G League player. He's no longer on that 15-man Warriors roster. I don't think you can really afford to use a two-way contract on him, to be honest. So I think that's that's the next roster move that happens, is that they waive Smalagic, clears waivers, because I don't really see another team picking him up. He's just much too raw right now. So he'll clear waivers, and you bring him onto the G League, and he just plays there. He likes Santa Cruz, by the way. There's worse things, right? Like that you can have, you know, you can have a life playing in the G League, and he's going to do that for 4 or 5 years, and then maybe try to get up to the NBA at that point. But he's young, he's raw, he needs a lot of seasoning, and he's just not going to get that in the NBA level. The Warriors can't afford to put him on the floor right now. He just doesn't know what he's doing right now. It's too raw. So that's, to me, I think the next move is they end up waiving Smalagic, bringing him back to their G League team, and then clear a roster spot to use either with this DPE or a minimum contract elsewhere or something. But that's probably the next move.
All right, we've got Ryan on the line with a question about James Wiseman. But first, with the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. You're not going to get marked up by nosy salespeople. You're not going to get the markup that you find at chain stores. This is the best price out there. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then write "locked on" in their How Did You Hear Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. March Madness is a few months away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first Big Board of the year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts.
Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, man. I just have a quick question about Wiseman.
Yeah, let's go.
Wiseman has not played the second half in the Raptors game or the Clippers game. Is this just a trend of who they're playing? But like they played the, I know the Clippers have Ibaka and stuff, or is this going to be a more permanent thing with Steve Kerr?
That's a really great question. I think with the against the Clippers, there was an issue with that matchup against Ibaka. Ibaka's just like the savvy vet, right? I mean, he was baiting James Wiseman the entire time, and so you saw these last two games. I think Steve Kerr, the urgency was there, right, to kind of try to close out this homestand and win these games that they were in that were certainly winnable. You know, they came back from 22 points against the Clippers, etc. But there was an urgency about Steve Kerr. And the numbers when James Wiseman is on the floor are not great. Like, the on-off numbers are not great. Like I said, Kevon Looney has been their best center so far this season. And he's been playing really well. I think this is more Steve rewarding Kevon Looney. He's only missed one field goal attempt. I think he's like 12 of 13 in the last two games. Setting really good screens, playing really good defense, getting rebounds, all this stuff. He's been playing really well. Steve Kerr has maintained throughout the season he will reward players who play well. James Wiseman's been up and down, which is to be expected from a guy his age who's a rookie and hasn't played for as long as he hasn't played. And Kevon Looney's been playing well. So I think Steve's just rewarding Kevon. I don't know that it's going to be a trend with specific to James Wiseman, right? But it will be a trend as far as you're playing well, you get to play, you're not, and since you, you know, and this guy's going to have to ride the bench for a little bit longer than maybe you're accustomed. So we saw that with Kelly Oubre in that comeback win. Kelly Oubre comes out midway through the third quarter. He's your starter. He tends to close games for you, you know, in the normal rotation patterns. But the Warriors went on a run without Kelly Oubre on the floor, and he didn't play again in the second half. And I think that's what the Warriors are going to be a little bit more. It's going to be a little bit more patchwork this year than it was in previous seasons. I don't know, Ryan, if you're a Warriors fan or if you're just kind of listening, but if you're used to like those dynastic Warriors and those rotations where you knew it was going to be the death lineup to close most games, you knew it was going to be Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala as your, you know, seventh and sixth men coming off the bench and soaking up a lot of those bench minutes. It's not going to be the case this year. It's going to be a lot more patchwork kind of approach game to game. Steve Kerr's just going to find who has, you know, who's playing well, who has the hot hand, and just sort of ride that. And it's going to be a lot more improvisation on Steve Kerr's part than anything. And unfortunately, for a guy like Wiseman, if somebody else is playing really well behind him, then that player is going to get the minutes and not him. So I wouldn't be that concerned, Ryan, about James Wiseman going forward. But what's been your impression about Wiseman early in the year?
Those first two games, he looked very promising. I mean, I think it was flip-flop from what we thought he was going to be. Everybody thought pre-draft the jumper wasn't going to be there. He was going to be a lob threat that protects the rim. It's kind of in the opposite. You know, his jumper is there. His offense has been there. It's just defense is very important for a big man, and he's been fouling a lot. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been seeing.
Yeah, he does foul a lot. He has done a better job of trying to stay down and stay solid. But look, I just think that the fouling is, and I talked about this at the top, but it is a symptom of just sort of being behind the play. And as he continues to watch film and gets used to the speed of the game, I think you'll see the fouls occur less often. But yeah, that's why I said going into the season, I've gotten like a lot of flack for this. His role was going to be Zaza Pachulia on defense and JaVale McGee on offense. Now he's proven on offense that that's not going to be the case. That 3-point jumper is beyond anything that anybody, even the Warriors, expected. I mean, that's a legit shot that he has. Yeah, I think he settles for it too often. He needs to roll to the rim harder and more often, set better screens. But he'll get used to that and he'll start doing that. Defensively, I said he should be Zaza Pachulia. Now, I didn't say that talent-wise he's Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee. I just said that his role, what the Warriors are going to ask him to do are those things, and then he can grow into that role and then eventually expand that role. I think they need to do that a little bit more. Just let him hang out by the rim. Let him be 7 feet tall by the rim. Don't ask him to show so much on defense. Don't ask him to be so aggressive. And he should be better. And then that way he can sort of just see what's happening in front of him a little bit more and then get accustomed to eventually showing and blitzing and switching on screens and things like that. But for now, I think they need to be a little bit more conservative with what they're asking him to do defensively. But it's hard, right? Because your entire defense is built around that blitz and that show and that trying to create turnovers and get in transition. But and Kevon Looney can do that when he's playing center, which I think is another reason why he's been in there more than James Wiseman lately. Ryan, anything else, or did you want to have any more questions?
That's it. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. All right, final question, unless somebody else wants to jump in here. I teased the question from MJ about the Kelly Oubre free agent status. I don't think that there's anything that Kelly Oubre can do this year to stay with the Warriors next year. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a reflection on Oubre or how he's played this year. It's just, look, if he shows out and plays really well, then the Warriors aren't going to be able to afford him when he becomes a free agent, right? I mean, this is a guy who's starting right now because they don't have Klay Thompson, who they acquired because they didn't have Klay Thompson because he went down with another injury. But you're not going to want to pay Kelly Oubre what you're paying him now to come off the bench. This team already has the highest payroll in the league. They're not going to want to add to that next season for a guy who's going to be a sixth or seventh man. And then if he plays really poorly, then why would you bring him back in the first place? So if he plays really well, he probably earns a bigger contract elsewhere, and good for him. He'd earn it. And you know, right now, if he keeps playing like this, he's clearly not a long-term fit for the Warriors. So I don't know that there's anything that he can do, but that's okay. This is a marriage of convenience right now. The Warriors needed somebody to play to start in Klay Thompson's place for a year. Kelly Oubre needed somebody to let him play for a year when he tries to earn that next big contract.
That'll do it for us today. Thanks to everybody who submitted a question. Thanks to Ryan for calling in. Thanks to the Locker Room app for letting me record live. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. You could send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning for a recap of tonight's game against the Pacers.